Welcome back in, hour number two, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning, talking Titans and Bucks, taking your thoughts all show long, 615-737-1025. And we are pleased to be joined by Jared Stillman from Stillman & Company in the afternoons here on the program. Jared, first off, let me congratulate you on, I haven't looked this up, but I feel pretty confident in saying your longest win streak in Jared versus Joe. Three in a row, baby. Don't congratulate him.
I'm not sure. Thank you, Robbie. That means so much to me. I'm not sure Joe has won three in a row at any point. So
I think I won like nine of the first ten.
I'm so excited.
You've kept again. This is Stockholm syndrome with Caroline, which is why we need a panel. So I'm petitioning for a panel. So that's where we're going from now on.
Good luck in achieving that. I do want to take 1 second.
We're going to get it done, buddy.
I do want to wish my dad, Barry Stillman, a happy birthday today.
Birthday, Barry.
It's his birthday. Hi, Barry. I just want to wish him a happy birthday. So
shout out to Barry.
Figured I would accomplish that, who is both a fan of both of you guys. So
I love Barry.
I'm disappointed in that regard, but there you go.
So, Jared, what stood out to you yesterday in day one on the field between the Titans and the Buccaneers?
Well, I mean, we talked about this yesterday. I mean, how can we take the defense? I said this on Wednesday. Yes. No. Tuesday. When I found out Mike Evans wasn't going to practice, on top of knowing that Chris Godwin wasn't going to practice, Russell Gage wasn't going to practice, and then Tom Brady decided to take a vacation in the middle of practice, maybe because all those other guys are practicing. He's like, I'm not throwing the ball to Jalen Darden in the regular season anyways. So it was all a bunch of backups, and I said on Tuesday that the Titans defense had to dominate. They did for the most part dominate, though the two-minute drill left something to be desired defensively, especially on the part of Caleb Farley. I'd say the defense looks great. Now, how much of that is they're supposed to look great against a bunch of backups, and how much of it is I feel comfortable about the Titans at every position on defense except for that one corner spot that I think McCreary is going to win from Farley. And I don't know if it's just that Farley is, you know, needs more time to get reacclimated to football, if Farley has to relearn how to run on that knee, and if that's kind of slowing him up a little bit, or if Farley just may not be that good, and there's no way for me to make that determination. But everything except for one PBU he had a Julio yesterday kind of felt like day late, dollar short on Farley, so that was a little frustrating or disappointing. But other than that, the defense was dominant, and I was on the defensive side of the field, so I didn't really see the offense yesterday, but I was really, really impressed with the defense. Then again, it was Blaine Gabbert.
So you've watched Farley this whole camp. You've been out there, although I've noticed you've showed a little less toughness lately, not showing up on the weekends. Probably a little white claw, a little boating with a white claw. That's fine.
No, it's
yeah. You've missed a few. It's fine. It's not a big deal.
I was there Saturday. I've been on Sirius XM, Joe. I gotta do that.
A lot of hours of radio this week.
Yeah, I feel like that. There's been some Sundays you've missed. But that's fine. Whatever you want to do, man. You got stuff going on, leisurely lifestyle.
Where were you on Saturday, Joe?
I was at Vanderbilt. I had to make a choice. I have to go see Vanderbilt some, and I went to Vanderbilt.
Why do you have to go to see Vanderbilt?
Well, because I write about a lot of different teams, Jared. Hi, let me introduce myself.
I mean,
are you serious?
I mean, you know.
Okay. So listen, you've seen a lot of Farley. And you are, because of yesterday, you're out on Farley. He's not very good. You don't think he's had a good camp?
Did I say that?
I mean, it sounds like you got McCreary taking his job.
But I didn't say what you just said that you are assuming that I said.
Okay, just go ahead and expound a little bit. How about that?
I think McCreary has outplayed Farley in camp. Would you agree with that?
Well, no, because McCreary has not had the same – Farley's been the ones outside corner the entire camp. There's a big difference in what they've seen and what they've done. McCreary's also missed some time. I think McCreary, at times, you could make the case, like is it insane to think McCreary could compete with him? No. But no, I don't think that he's been better than him. I mean, he's been mostly in the slot when Molden was out, when he was with the ones, and he's been with the twos a fair amount. Farley's been ones outside corner the whole time, and I think overall has been good. He's going to have his ups and downs. And, yeah, Julio left him in the dust yesterday. And it was a bad play in the two-minute. But Vrabel said, he didn't like his day. But he also loved his day the other day. He had like three or four PBUs. I mean, he's going to have ups and downs. I think it's all been quite encouraging. And I think Caleb Farley is a starting cornerback for this team.
So yesterday, and again, I was on defensive field. You were not. McCreary was starting ahead of Farley at that outside position with Molden in the slot. And I do think there's a real battle there. I think McCreary, from what I've seen, has had a better camp. I didn't think Farley was impressive on Thursday night against the Ravens, against players that he should be impressive against if he's going to go up against Stephon Diggs and Devontae Adams in week two and three. And I just believe that I, and again, some of this may be the fact that Farley hasn't played football in a while and he's got to get reacclimated to it. But he had one yesterday where some guy named Smith, I've never heard of, for Tampa Bay, ran right by him. And if Blaine Gabbert throws a decent ball, that's a touchdown. And then he had to play in the 2 minute that Julio made on him. And so with Farley, I see the talent. And I'm not saying Farley's a bad player. And because it's corner, they're all going to play at some point. But I right now think that McCreary is ahead of – I think McCreary's ahead of Farley, and I think that the Titans see McCreary as ahead of Farley right now, even though Farley was a first-round pick. And that doesn't mean that Farley's having a bad camp or that Farley's a bad player. The question I asked Vrabel yesterday was, what did you think of Caleb's day? It wasn't slanted one way or another. It wasn't
– Never said it was.
And but the point – the reason that I asked it that way was because – I wanted to know what Mike thought if he saw the same thing on the defensive field yesterday that I saw. And Mike pretty much said that he was not happy with Farley's day and then talked about the good day that he had on a Monday. So I'm not saying Farley's a bad player, that Farley's not going to contribute to this team, because I think he is going to contribute. But Thursday night, I thought he could have played better. Vrabel said the same thing yesterday. And honestly, I'm like picking out the one thing about the defense that I didn't like when they absolutely dominated Blaine Gabbert and the Bucs second string, which is what they should do, Indianapolis. But I guess, you know, Farley just looks a little bit behind McCreary right now. And a lot of that's because I think McCreary's playing really well.
What did I write in the grid today? After Jared.
To Jared's inevitable Farley overreacting.
Thank you. So, Jared, you're right. I wasn't on the defensive field much, but in 2 minute, Farley was with the ones. So what happened there? I'm trying to even remember where McCreary – were they both out there? I'm sure they probably were.
Tampa Bay, in a 2 minute drill where they're not running the football, probably has like four receivers.
Yeah, I guess they're both out there.
Joe, call the Titans and have them give you the practice tape, and you can watch the practice tape, and then you can tell me who was on the field.
Yeah, no, let's take everything literally and call the NFL.
Jared, have you reached the point with Logan Woodside that you're ready to go look for another backup quarterback if you're Mike Vrabel on the Titans?
Boy, I'm really torn on this, and I get emotional on both sides of it. Logan has been stinking it up, and I was noticing, and again, not that I go out to the practice field to worry about how Logan Woodside is going to perform, but I'm out there on the practice field just kind of, you know, charting the every play, and there were so many throws even before the Ravens game where I was like, 5-1, horrible, or terrible, or things like that. And then he was not impressive in the Ravens game, though I'm not completely sure how much of that is his fault. I'm not saying it's not his fault. I'm saying I'm not completely sure how much of that was his fault. Reportedly, Caroline was watching the offense yesterday, and she just said that he freaking stunk. And I'm going to take her word for it, obviously. So I do think they probably need to upgrade a backup quarterback. The problem is that whomever they bring in, whether it's, say, Bryce Perkins beats out John Wolford for the backup job with the Rams, so they bring in John Wolford. Or, say, Kellen Mond beats out Sean Mannion for the backup job in Minnesota, so the Titans bring in him. If Sean Mannion has to play quarterback for the Titans, they're going to lose. And that's just the story of the NFL. The Ravens were 8-4 last year with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback. They were in first place. Lamar got hurt. Tyler Huntley, who's probably not a horrible backup quarterback, Tyler Huntley didn't win a game last year. So that's, like, to me, that's the NFL. Is, sure, we can sit here and talk about backup quarterback and who should play and, you know, should they go get another guy. And they've tried the last couple of years with Simeon and Matt Barkley to unseat Woodside, and they haven't. But if any of those guys have to play, if Matt Barkley has to play, they lose. If any of them have to play, just like Robbie, if Jordan Love has to play, what happens?
They're in serious trouble.
There you go. So I just think that that's how it is around the league with teams with established quarterbacks. So while, yeah, I think there's a lot of people better than Logan to do that job, I'm not sure it makes any difference who it is.
So you guys are like switching today? You're doing offense? I want to know which field to not be on. You're going offense and Caroline's going defense?
So Caroline's going to be doing the midday show coming on after you
guys.
Oh,
right. Okay.
And so TD, who's going to be doing the TD Power Hour from 3 to 4, TD will be on defense. I'll be on offense today.
There we go.
Right now, Jared, what's the running back room? You're making this roster.
Right now, I have, let's see, hold on, let me pull up my little sheet right here where I wrote this out. Right now, I think the Titans running back room is Henry, Hilliard, and Haskins. I think those guys are locks, and I think Trenton Cannon and Torrey Carter make the roster.
There you go. Wow, Cannon make the roster. So Cannon's your returner.
Yes. I'm not putting McMath back there to return.
There we go.
I disagree.
Sure. Why do you disagree, Joe?
We don't have time. We'll take it to the next segment, Jared. Nah, I do disagree, but it's close.
There we go. Jared Stillman, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Jared, thank you for joining us this morning, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Happy birthday, Barry.
See you guys.
Shout out, Barry.
All righty. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans and react to a little Jared Stillman take there. 615-737-1025. The NFL Week 1 odds are out, and now's the time to try FanDuel Sportsbook if you haven't already. Get in on the action early this season. Right now, new FanDuel Sportsbook customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. There's all sorts of different things to look at. Local interest here, Derrick Henry in the rushing title. Is he going to overtake Jonathan Taylor? Is there anybody else that could even challenge those two? I like Derrick Henry to win the rushing title, but you take it any way you want to take it. Who's your dark horse to make the playoffs this year? I said it yesterday. I think the Saints are going to be pretty good this year and flying a little bit under the radar, but you do whatever you want to do. Just sign up using promo code ROB, place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. There's no better place to get ready for the football season than on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and official sports betting partner of the NFL. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789.
So if that's the case, Joe, then you should think he's going to be worse.
So here's the thing, Jared. We're watching practice right now, buddy. And this is what you can't seem to get through your head. We're watching freaking practice, bro. And there was not one thing we saw last year that told us, here come the Cardinals about to blow that team out. Not one thing, dude.
We're watching freaking practice, bro.
Dude, bro. What did I say? Dude, bro.
Buddy.
Chief, buddy, pal.
As soon as I heard that, I said, Ian, I'm going to need that. We're watching practice, bro.
Little Jared versus Joe action yesterday. You can catch it every Wednesday at 5 o'clock.
Stay tuned for the Rex rant. I finally decided to put my money where my mouth is and reach out to the Titans press corps to get their thoughts on this debate. And there are mixed results, I will say that.
Well, I'm looking forward to that coming up at 7:45 here today on the program. So I will give you credit. It was like you almost deserve like a call your shot credit for this because you did, even before we had the interview with Jared last segment, yesterday. As we were planning the show out for today, you said react to Jared's inevitable Farley overreacting. And Jared Stillman just told us on the program that he believes Roger McCreary is going to end up starting ahead of Caleb Farley. So, Joe, your reaction to what we just learned from Jared Stillman in the last segment.
I mean, it's like knowing a dog's going to sniff poop on the ground. You know, I mean, it's very easy to predict. But I will say this on the Farley thing. I'm not out on the idea of McCreary competing with him. I think that, and look, I'll defer to Jared. If he's saying McCreary was taking some of those reps that is from Farley yesterday with the ones, that's a first, and that's interesting. That's not nothing. So I'm not ruling it out. I just what I saw of Farley, which largely was just a 2-minute drill. There was some other stuff. I mean, they switched fields a little bit, stuff like that, individuals. And I went to a place where I could see both fields at one point. But I don't think it was like some disastrous day. The Julio thing, Julio left him in the dust. Julio looked okay. I'm just saying. Julio Jones might.
He's going to have 1,000 yards this year, isn't he?
Oh, my God. That'd be something. That'd be the talk of the town until A.J. Brown gets 1,800.
Good Lord.
But I just think Farley overall has been pretty good. Like, I disagree with Jared about the preseason game. He gave up one short pass early in the game, and he's going against Benjamin Victor, so that's not like a world beater. You know, it's a decent depth receiver in the NFL. After that, he had a really good rep and run support, good physicality, and then did a great job on Victor in like a 3rd and 7, which was a total rollout. He was read one. It was where Huntley wanted to – I think it was Huntley in there at the time, right? Wanted to go, and Farley physically locked him up. I've seen him do a lot of using his strength in coverage but not going too far with it. And I've seen what I think is a lot of recognition and speed and promise for a guy who can play corner in this league. But I agree that McCreary has been good and largely in the slot with Molden out, but that's still reps with the ones. So now maybe it's – you know, Molden's back, and now maybe it's okay. Let's see the rookie and then the second year guy coming off all these injuries go at it. Maybe that is something that can materialize here.
Well, I think it's really encouraging that you're talking about a guy that's your second round pick this year that's playing really well and can.
Yeah, no, I like McCreary. I mean, we love McCreary. He's the star of this show.
He displayed his singing talent on our show a couple weeks ago, so he's already my favorite Titan of all time. But I think it's really encouraging that, you know, we've talked so much about his versatility, but being able to play in the slot and outside is a good thing. I mean, I think in a perfect world, you want Caleb Farley to be a starter for you eventually. But, you know, I remember thinking this when they picked McCreary. I was like, really? They took a corner with their second round pick this year? But all of a sudden, like, you look at that corner room, and I think there's real talent in that room. And if we learned anything, you can never have enough corners. Like, there's going to come a point this year where you're going to need every corner that's on that roster. And it's the way it is. And I think having multiple options there, because it's not like, I don't think Caleb Farley's, you know, anybody's saying that Caleb Farley's been bad in this camp. Having multiple good options there, to me, is a really good thing if you're the Titans.
Well, and with those two guys in particular, it could also be – it could be maybe a little bit matchup related
could
too.
Be.
I mean, I could definitely see some, you know, in-game series-to-series switching. Farley is built to, you know, to go against the Mike Evanses of the world. I'm not saying he can go out and just drape a blanket over Mike Evans in a game, but that's his matchup. McCreary, much is made of the, you know, the length measurements aren't great and all that stuff. But grace, quickness, speed, he is very aggressive. He can get a little handsy, but, I mean, I really like his approach. So the smaller, quicker receivers, you know, who are you playing? I mean, you know, if you are matching up, for the most part, I think you're still looking at, like, Christian Fulton as your guy who's going to match up, you know, with your wide receiver one on a given team when you are, you know, playing match coverage. But certain matchups could just benefit Farley or McCreary week to week or whatever. And so I think both of them are going to be out there, and both of them can help this team. And like you said, there's going to be injuries. That's a good quartet, I think. And we'll see. I think today is important for Farley. So it gets talked about. Yep. Everybody watched it. Everybody watched Julio Jones turn him inside out, leave him on the ground, grasping at nothing yesterday. So, you know, it's a bounce back day for him. It'll be interesting to see how he responds.
Well, and the thing that makes him so intriguing, and I think is why I'm still hopeful for him, as long as he can stay healthy. Like, to me, with the injury concern with him is probably not going to go away. Like, I'm always going to be concerned. But we talked about that when he got drafted. Like, there's too much injury history there for me to just not worry about that with Caleb Farley as he moves forward here. But what's also there is a rare combination of size and speed at that position, where if he can stay healthy, just the physical tools that he brings to the table makes him really intriguing to me. Like, there's so many receivers in this league now that are just so fast and so big and strong, and a lot of these corners have a tough time matching up with that. And I think physically, he's kind of a rare guy that the size and speed that he brings to the table, you can match up with some of those guys. So he's always, as long as he can stay healthy, going to be a really intriguing option to me, because there's just not many guys built the way that he's built at that position in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. So, there's early in camp, I would say, again, I'm at my first day. I thought he was, I know Burks had the big play, but I was like, okay, Farley's the story of this day. I mean, he just looks good out there. He looks different. And I thought the first few days of camp, it was pretty consistent. There was one day, a few days into it, it was actually McMath who got behind him a couple times. And then, you know, and took it to him. And so that was a little bit, at that time it was like Racy McMath, but then eventually it's like, oh yeah, okay, Racy McMath. You know, it's like last year with Raiden, so like, oh my gosh, what's going on? This 92's blowing
Ola
by him.
Right. Danny?
Yeah. And then not that Ola's a, you know, a starter or a world beater, but he can play, you know, and Racy can play. But Farley's had his ups and downs. He's gonna have, that's the corner position. Everybody talks about like the next play mentality. It's a great football cliche. It is very important at that position. I mean, you in this league now anymore, you are going to take your lumps. And it's like people asking. I mean, look, Byard had a great comment on this yesterday. Asked about Farley. One of Byard's comments, by the way, was, Christian Fulton could be an X factor for this team, which I thought was an interesting way to put it. But, you know, he believes he could be a real difference maker. Also, it was Byard's birthday, and Ben Jones got him. So
he's on a roll this
make
week.
Make sure you check out Michelle's. Michelle, you got a good video of that, right? Byard getting the powder from Ben Jones.
Yeah, I thought the funniest part about it was when somebody was like, so does like Ben Jones get any repercussions? And they're like, no, he's we don't mess with him. He's
Ben
crazy.
Jones. Yeah.
But leave that guy alone.
But it's also, by the way, a reminder that inside the facility they're listening to the pressers. Because what happened was someone asked him about that, and I think it was LaJuan heard it. Someone asked him how he's like, no, he never messed with me. And immediately they came out and messed with him, right?
Oh, yeah.
So keep that in mind. But Byard made the point on Farley. He's like, the thing is, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, it's like, you know, a corner, he might have had like five or six plays in a row where they didn't throw his way because he covered his guy. But all we talk about is the play he got beat on, right? Which that's how it goes. That's the reality of corner. But there were a few plays yesterday that Farley would want back. It's going to happen in the season too. He's still, to me, he's my pick as starting CB1 opener. But that would be fun, actually, if in the next few weeks McCreary made a run at him.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. More observations from Joe Rexroad at day number one of Titans and Bucks coming up next. Fantasy football season right around the corner, and my friends at Twin Peaks are here to help you out with your fantasy football draft party, which includes a draft board, player stickers, free Wi-Fi, a $50 bonus for the commish, and a $5 bonus card for each drafter as well. And when you're not on the clock, relax with one of Twin Peaks' refreshing 29-degree beers or order some food for the whole team. You got the Peak Sampler, shareables like the Double Stack Nachos, loaded fries, and multiple flavors of great boneless wings as well. So call Twin Peaks in Cool Springs to book your fantasy football draft party at 615-221-0869. That's 615-221-0869. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got a 4-pack of tickets to give away to the PBR Stampede Days coming up at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night. 615-737-1025, caller number 3. We'll win a 4-pack of tickets to the PBR Stampede Days at Bridgestone Arena coming up tomorrow night, 615-737-1025. We're talking Titans. We got Joe Rexroad's Rex Rant coming up at 745. Teresa Walker from the Associated Press will join us at 8 o'clock as well. So, Joe, we've talked a lot about some battles, some position battles, some maybe depth concerns we have with the Titans. What were some other things that stood out to you yesterday as the Titans took on the Bucs in day one of joint practices?
Yeah, you know, I complained about the boringness of all of this at the top, but there was some stuff yesterday. There was some stuff. Well, actually, one thing we haven't talked about yet, I think maybe third play of team, Tannehill to Treylon Burks, going against like a rookie corner, but beautiful, a bomb from Tannehill. Burks blew by his guy, touchdown, big-time play, kind of a statement. Then, like two plays later, Tannehill goes up top to Racy McMath against, I think it's McCullough for the Bucs. Again, not a top DB, but a little bit of kind of a back shoulder throw, comes back, high points, about a 50-yard gain. So you got a couple bombs right away. But Burks made another catch and not long after that, and then went inside with a trainer. We didn't see him again. So keep an eye on that today. You know, I don't know if, I don't know. I mean, he was able to go in under his own power and everything like that, but if there is some lost time ahead for him, he already was very much a situational player in this offense to start the season, and this would maybe take that down a notch and probably make McMath more important, although I'm still going with the idea that Woods and NWI are – they are getting most of the outside reps, you know, to start this season for the Titans offense. McMath did have a drop, though, on a Willis crossing pattern. A point I made earlier, Ruse at right guard, Nate Davis went out early. Another thing to watch on the injury front. You know, they start to pile up around this time. But Jordan Ruse at right guard. Another one of my, you know, Jared mentioned Caroline talking about Woodside. You know, Woodside and Willis both on the offensive field. They had some rough moments. Tannehill had a pick. Now, he had pressure in his face right away, and it looked like Phillips possibly ran the wrong route because he broke outside, and Tannehill threw it like it was an in-cut, and that was a pick. By the way, that's his third pick. So the terrible Tannehill season per Jared's math is two picks away.
Has he dropped his MVP? Is it gone now?
Yeah, I think
he's just like, is he AP Offensive Player of the Year?
He is now, he's in the race for Titans Offensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
As you know, the Rotary Club's voting. So he's downgraded from MVP to that. So we'll see where it goes from here. A bullet to NWI in tight coverage. Just a tremendous throw and catch. Phillips with more. Whenever Phillips is like match up on a linebacker or something like that, it's absolute curtains. So, you know, he looks good for the most part. If that was on him, and Tannehill didn't yell at him or anything, but he did come over to him after that play, and they kind of had a conversation.
Why didn't he yell?
I don't know. Maybe he's...
I thought he was a different guy.
Completely changed man. Maybe it's like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and he's just going back and forth. You know, it's like one day he's like... Or it's like the Hulk. Bruce Banner and the Hulk. I don't know.
Walks up to Kyle Phillips like, hey, man, you run that wrong route again, I'm going to kill you. Like, he's just done. Just walks back to the huddle.
He like puts his shirt over his mouth, like Joe Pesci in Casino. Like, hey man,
you run that wrong route again, we're going to have some real problems.
That could be too. I mean, I don't know. He's a changed man. We can all agree on that. Green for Tampa Bay, Bull Rush Brewer. There was one rep for sure I saw where it was like, man, he got thrown around. But I thought he held up fine. Like, it wasn't like yesterday. I came away saying, yep, he's too small and it can't handle it. I thought he was fine. Hooper had quite a few plays yesterday for the Titans. The offense got a field goal, and it was like they were out of timeouts, completion from Tannehill in the middle of the field, and they were able to just come straight out with the whole field goal unit. Boom, operation, 50-yarder from Big Randy right down the pipe. So that was good.
Randy looks like he's ready to go for this season.
And another point. This could be its own shoot. This could be its own show. You know, Jonathan Hutton was on with Chase Willie and D-Mitch yesterday, and he made the point that Teresa Walker made last week that we've talked about some. You're seeing Stonehouse getting these holding reps, so that tells me like they're really looking at the possibility that Ryan Stonehouse could be the punter of the Tennessee Titans this year. Looking at it, I'm not predicting that that's what happens, but, I mean, that's, to me, one of the most interesting parts of Saturday, honestly, is how he punts. Other things real
quick. You're looking for something now, aren't you?
Well, I mean, it's...
I agree with you.
It's interesting. It's not nothing. So I'm going to be watching that today, too. I mean, are they at least splitting that up? Well, we've talked about the Julio torching Caleb Farley, and I thought Julio, he's their best receiver out there, so he looked pretty good. I mentioned the Tannehill play earlier. Raidens didn't block anyone. Devin White came on a blitz. That was some kind of a miscommunication. I assume Raidens should have been at least trying to engage him, to his right. He came free. Tannehill, great job of hard rolling left and then finding Robert Woods in the middle of the field for a big gain on what could have easily been a sack and a loss. And like I said, here's some more notes on just like – I mean, Woodside comes out, first play of his 2 minute. He tries to throw a pick. Then he has all day, you know, throws an outlet. And then he, again, takes forever, sails one out of bounds, is not even close. He and Willis both just, like, they struggled, I would say, overall. And go back to the beginning of the show, the gap between Tannehill and those guys. I'm sure on most teams, there's a huge gap between your starter and backups. But yesterday it really was illuminated by everything we saw on the field.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and act like the backup quarterback is like the biggest deal for this team looking forward here. But like, if you're Vrabel, don't you want to feel confident that somebody come in and make some plays for you? Like, obviously, it doesn't matter who your backup quarterback is in the league. They're not going to come in and be Ryan Tannehill. So you can think what you want about Tannehill. He's not an elite quarterback. He's a good starter in this league. So none of your backups are going to come in and be that. But, like, you can't have the level of backup quarterback play that they've had for the last week and feel comfortable about that if you're Vrabel. Like, I think it's pretty clear Willis has some talent. He's not ready to play an NFL game right now.
No.
And if Woodside's going to play like this, I'm more and more open to maybe looking around and seeing if there's something else out there, maybe here in a week or two if you're the Titans.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the Gabbard idea, Jared, shout out. Good job. But if that were the case, obviously he's been here. The offense has changed, you know, since 2018. But for the most part, he can come in here and run this stuff and get up to speed quickly, and I think he'd be an okay. Look, they've tried to do this. They've tried to bring in people. And all of a sudden, Logan Woodside says, he goes Bruce Banner to the Hulk.
Right.
You know?
But there's one thing PK said yesterday that I agree with. Like, I'm kind of tired of hearing about, like, the command he's got in the offense. Yeah. Like, that's great. And I'm not saying that there's no value there. But, like, you also – you have to play well. And I think this is a pretty big rest of the week for him.
Well, I do, too. And, again, it's weird almost because I actually thought he looked pretty good for most of camp. And, like, the gap there between 2 and 3 is like, yeah, guys, come on. What are we talking about with Willis could be his backup? And just, like, I don't know, the preseason game. And since then, it's like he's just off right now. So, yeah, it's he would be wise to have some good days here coming up.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. He's done some research on this one and has done some polling as well. Looking forward to this. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app. Can you take me higher
to a place where blind men see? And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. I always don't want to talk when Scott Staff is out there just belting it out. I feel like it's disrespectful for me to interrupt that, but I'm going to do it anyway. Turn things over to you for today's edition of the Rex Rant.
I just so badly want him sometime to be listening. I think he may be like a closet listener of this show.
Well, if so,
I'm basing that on no information at all.
Scott Stapp, if you're listening, you can come do the show with us anytime. I'm 100% serious.
Also, just anytime. Know, Rex Road is a closet listener of Creed.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. No, I'd welcome Scott Stapp to the show, and just it would be great. We can talk sports. Don't play any music. Then you're welcome.
That's so disrespectful.
Don't play any of your freaking music, and we're good. Okay. So I think it's time to just – I'm sick of this argument, so I just want to, like, put it to bed. It won't put it to bed, but I'm going to try anyway. So Jared and I have been having this whole thing. And really, it's about Tannehill and all this stuff. And, I mean, ultimately, like, the point here is we're trying to – you know, you're trying to give fans, like, an idea of what's going on. And I think Jared's been a little bit deceitful, maybe not intentionally, but he's overreacting pretty wildly, in my opinion – So my prevailing points on this are twofold. One, I just don't believe in this direct correlation between camp performance for a known commodity of a player and what happens in a season. I don't believe it. I don't. I never will. And I think most people would side with me on that. But more than that is just the history revisionist thing that we've got with Jared, because not a damn soul in this town was talking about the bad camp for Tannehill last year or worrying about Tannehill last year going into the season. Not a single soul. We talked about his picks, and we wondered why he's throwing so many picks early in camp, and that was that. He looked like Ryan Tannehill last camp. But so, again, I'm just trying to give people, like, don't expect all of a sudden this totally different Ryan Tannehill this year. I think he's doing exactly what I would have thought in this camp. But we can all agree that things have changed drastically on the outside, right? I mean, he told us he was seeking professional help after the blown opportunity. I mean, you got to have an open mind about him approaching things differently. I acknowledge that. But like the dramatization of, you know, Jared cited Jeremy Fowler coming here. There's just something different about Ryan Tannehill. So look, do we, like, every year in the NFL, every training camp, folks who bounce around, who cover the league, who bounce around to different camps, how many times has that basically said, there's just something different about whoever? I mean, it's such a cliche.
Did Jeremy Fowler say that Tannehill was in the best shape of his life? Because there's a lot of that.
I don't know. I didn't see the report, but I wouldn't be shocked. That's another great one, by the way. So, look, after another Jared versus Joe outcome that was predetermined by question choice, I decided to go to the Titans beat. These are the folks who basically cover them daily, and I texted this question individually to each of them, okay? And hopefully you agree with, like, my panel. Basically, it's like, to me, you know, again, daily, more like beat reporters. The people who I trust, you know, that watch this stuff the most. The question is this, quote, quick text poll, does Tannehill look like a much different quarterback to you this camp compared to last camp? Is that a fair way to ask it?
I think so.
Fair? We all agree? Okay, fair. Fine. Okay. I don't want to have like a leading question or anything like that. So, and by the way, this rant is not an example of a bunch of people all agreeing with me. I'm going to say all the answers. So, Ben Arthur, yes, definitely cleaner, fewer picks, and more efficient. Ben Arthur, Tennessee and beat writer. Teresa Walker, noting, I did miss part of camp last year in Japan, but I'd say yes. He's much more vocal with receivers, and he seems sharper. John Glennon, SI.com. Not sure I would go as far as much different, but I would say he definitely looks better than he did last year. Picks are the difference. He probably should get credit, too, for looking good with so many new faces, and I agree with that. A little bit more on my side. Gentry Estes, much different? Not really. Let's go to TD, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation. I wouldn't say much different, but I think he's a little more demonstrative as far as what he wants from the wide receivers in routes. Okay. Fair. I mean, I think that's been a pretty – David Beauclair, much different? No. The big difference is he threw interceptions with startling consistency last year in camp. That's not been an issue this year. Also, I'd say he's taking more deep shots, but that seems to be true of the offense whether he's in or not, and I think that's a great point. Things look different this year, in part because the Titans are going vertical a lot more than they did in camp, in the season, whatever the case may be. Paul Kaharski, Jim Wyatt says he has been better, I think. Paul Kaharski says no. Then Kaharski, so basically of all these people, PK and I are... So this would be a great but he's got more. Then, of course, Gahart's like, will you be going to everyone until you get the answer you're looking for? And he's talking about last year with the hype for the Titans and all that stuff. Shut up, Gaharski. But here's what else he says. He's doing the same stuff he did last year. It's the way people are watching him that's changed. Ding, 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 ding. Maybe a little more hands-on with some primary weapons based on their newness. So I agree with that, too. I agree mostly with him. Look, what does this all tell you? Like, there's been some notable vocal moments, one in particular with Kyle Phillips that was like, he's always gone to guys and said if they did something wrong, he really got after him on that play. And I think a lot of people are taking that, but that's fine. I think that he's playing well with new faces. He is throwing deep more. I think he looks good. but I feel validated. I feel validated, and not that it's like...
I mean, that poll is like 50-50.
Yeah, but even the poll... But again, I'm okay with he seems sharper or, you know, less picks. That's fine. Remember, though, how many less? It's a couple. We're at a couple less now. He threw a bunch at the beginning of camp last year, so... That's the whole thing. He like the very first few days, it was like another pick, and then he really didn't the rest of camp. I guess he threw one against the Bucks. Regardless, I feel validated, and I'm going to choose to feel validated, whether you think I should be feel validated or not.
So what are the two sides?
What's that?
What are the two sides?
Yeah, because you're kind of in the middle, I feel like, Rex.
Well, again, like I'm not dismissing any player changing some. I'm just against the idea that this is a totally new player and this is going to show itself in the season. I think he's going to have a good year, but I think the answer to that lies in like, well, is he going to be protected?
Part of this,
are the receivers going to be good?
Part of this discussion is also. You and Jared have, I think, very different views of last season as a whole. Like, yes. Jared's view seems to be Tannehill basically sucked head to toe from start to finish last year.
And what do you think of that take?
Well, I think he had some moments last year where he looked really good. Now, he had some moments where he looked awful, too. And he looked awful, I think, way more often than he did in either one of the previous 2 years. I can't deny
I would agree with that for sure.
But, you know, Kansas City, he's pretty darn good in that game.
Thank you. Kansas City, yeah. Buffalo. Jared yesterday was like he was okay against Houston and okay against Seattle, and he sucked the rest of the way. No. And it's just like you want to say he sucked in camp last year. No. Malik Willis sucks. Like, this is the whole issue. It just gets aggravating. Like, you don't have to make this huge commentary that just broad brush everything. Like, there's nuance in this stuff. Embrace the nuance.
So I think that's a big part of this discussion, too, is Jared was so down on him last year that I do think maybe he's looking at it a little bit differently than you are. Like, I'll just tell you how I feel about Tannehill. Do I think it's good that he looks good in training camp? Yes. Do I think it's probable that he's going to have a better season this year than he did last year? Yeah, I do. I think some of that is just going to be because – hopefully Derrick Henry's healthy and he makes better decisions with the football. Like, that was, to me, still the mystifying part of last year. I mean, you can talk about Julio being out. You can talk about AJ, you know, missing some time, and all that's valid. But some of it was just like he threw interceptions last year, like just not seeing guys that he hadn't done
right. The
previous 2 years.
Sure.
So that was a departure for what we had seen the previous 2 years. So I think that'll be better this year. So... But all in all, like, I think he's the same guy. And the question remains the same. This is not, to me, the question that we were talking about after the Cincinnati game is not, is Tannehill good enough to get you to the playoffs? Like, we know that answer. Yes, he's good enough to get you to the playoffs. He's good enough to win you a division. I mean, heck, last year, as bad as some people think he was, he's good enough to win you the number one seed in the AFC. The question is he good enough to win the Super Bowl? That's where this team is.
Yeah.
And my answer is still no.
Yeah, I don't believe it. And I think we're right. Like, we're all on that page. But, like, go through last year. Even, like, so he threw 14 picks. He threw 4 in that game against Houston. I don't want to take responsibility off him for that. He's throwing, like, Des Fitzpatrick was his number one receiver. It was just mess of a day. It was just a disastrous day. And some of those weren't on him, but whatever. Like, hey, you got to take ownership for that game. But there's 4 of the 14. You know, he threw 2 in the win at Indy, in which he was also 23 of 33 for 265 and 3 touchdowns. Like, again, like you said, Kansas City, 21 for 27, 270.
He played about as good as you can play in the first half of that game.
He absolutely carved them up. He's 18 for 29 for 216 against Buffalo. Even the Jets game with no receivers, you know, he throws for 298. You know, 347 at Seattle. And again, these are just yardage totals. He had lots of games where he didn't throw a pick. He threw 8 picks in 3 games of the 14. He absolutely took a step back. I think he'll take a step forward too, but answering that question is not watching him in camp. Answering that question is, well, first of all, it's still his performance, obviously, on Sundays, but it's Is he going to have clean pockets? He needs that. He has to have time to throw. Are those guys going to win? Is NWI going to win against man coverage on 3rd and 7? I mean, he looks good in camp. I don't know. Are the tight ends that much better? There's just so much of the
answer. Well, I do feel pretty good about that being, yeah.
Well, I think Hooper's definitely, I mean, there's no doubt, an upgrade. But, like, is Chig going to make that big of a difference as a rookie? Like, there's a lot of questions about Tannehill's performance that actually aren't about him.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. We'll get her thoughts on day one of the Titans and the Bucks, and looking ahead to day two today as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.